Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. If you were with us yesterday, you know that Derek has been teaching on why Israel. We simply could not have a more timely teaching here on this Tuesday. As we look at what's going on in the world, nations are arrayed against Israel. Leaders breathe out oaths against Israel and threaten to annihilate Israel. What is going on? Why is this little nation in the Middle East that's barely 180 miles north to south and barely 70 miles east to west, why is it creating such a problem for people in the world, such a problem especially in the Middle East? Well, Derek is going to explain today that God has a covenant with Israel, and since he's a covenant-keeping God, he is unfolding his covenant plan for Israel. We're going to hear a lot about that today. This is such an important teaching. Get something to take notes with, get your Bible, and let's take a great big turn in our understanding of what God is doing with Israel. Listen now as Derek teaches us about God's covenant with Israel in this very important series we're calling Why Israel?
I want to turn to one of the most exciting chapters for me in the Bible. That's Ezekiel chapter 36. Here is a brief stage-by-stage description of the return of the Jewish people to their own land. Beginning in Ezekiel 36 verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. Notice it was their own land, but they defiled it by their sin. So God goes on to say, Therefore I poured out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land and for their idols with which they had defiled it. So God brought judgment on the people while still in the land for their sin and their idolatry. Then the next stage of God's dealings is in the next verse. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. So the next judgment was to be dispersed from the land. And then God says they embarrassed me when they came to the other nations. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. So the Lord said, I was embarrassed by the behavior of the people who were scattered out of the land, because they didn't behave like my people at all. Now, the next verse is very significant, because you will never understand God's dealings with Israel until you understand his primary motive. Verse 21, But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. God is not doing it for the sake of the Jewish people. He's doing it for the sake of his name. And if you don't understand that, you will not be able to follow what follows in the events of history. God has intervened for the glory of his name. Now God says, this is the way I'm going to deal with it. And now it's very interesting. It's very simple. It's a stage-by-stage depiction of the restoration of Jewish people to their land and to their God. And you might say, well, God, why did you do it that way? I think they ought to have repented first and then come back to the land. Well, you would have to argue that out with God, because God says it's not going to happen that way. They're going to come back to the land and then they're going to repent. I've heard many Christians say, well, I could believe in the restoration of the Jewish people if they'd repented and acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah. Well, you'll have to argue that out with God, because God had arranged it a different way. He says, verse 22, Therefore say to the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. The next verse, And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. I am going to reclaim the glory of my name by what I do for you and in you. And then he goes on, few simple steps being exactly fulfilled in our days. The next step, Verse 24, "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land." Whose land? Your own land. Whether they were in it or not, it was always their land, because God gave it to them by an everlasting covenant. But they'd been out of it. But he says, now God says, "I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land." I've been a student in the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. I sat in a class of about 30 people, and they came from at least 10 different nations. And it's estimated that altogether the Jews have been regathered from more than 100 nations of the earth in this century. That is an amazing miracle. In my opinion, it is possibly greater than the miracle of deliverance from Egypt. My first wife, as some of you know, was Danish. And she used to say, if you took the Danes and dispersed them among all nations after 200 years, when you came back, you wouldn't find a single Dane anywhere. They would have merged with the nation. But the Jewish people have been scattered, basically, how many years? I can't believe it. 2,000 years. I mean, I thought, surely I must be exaggerating, but I'm not. And they're still an identifiable separate group. That's a miracle. Furthermore, to regather that number of people from that number of nations is in itself a miraculous intervention of God. I was in Israel at the end of World War II, and I heard some of the testimonies of Jewish people as they said where they'd been gathered from and what had happened. I'd have to say, in many ways, in my eyes, the total scenario represents a greater miracle than the exodus from Egypt. And it's a miracle. It could not have happened unless God made it happen. God said, "I will do it." I want to read that again. "I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land." Now the next verse. "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols." Notice they are to be regathered, still unclean. That upsets some people's theology. I can't help it. It's just the way it is. You'll have to clear that with God. God says, when I've got them back in the land, then I will deal with them.
You know, to hear Derek talk about the relationship between God and Israel, you really do realize it's a love relationship, that God is, in a sense, wooing his people, wooing his bride. It's so moving. Listen, there's more ahead as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
The time is almost here when all will witness the startling, cataclysmic conclusion of the world. What will trigger the final countdown to the return of Jesus Christ? In his timely book, Promised Land, Derek Prince reveals God's purpose for the nation of Israel and its connection with end-time events. In it, you'll discover why entire nations will be judged according to their response to God's chosen people, Israel. Call toll-free 800-448-3261 to order your own copy of Promised Land for only $14.95. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Learn the truth about that point of blessing where your destiny and Israel's future intersect. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. If you're just joining us in the show, you've come along at a great time. Derek Prince is teaching us about why Israel. If you miss any of this teaching, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org to hear the rest of the teaching, learn more about this guy, Derek Prince, and learn about what Derek Prince Ministries is doing in the world. Now let's listen as Derek teaches us fantastic material about why Israel.
So the first thing that the Lord's going to do is sprinkle clean water. Now this is, it could be different. I really think the clean water is the Word of God. I think that the Jewish people are being just sprinkled, not deluged, but sprinkled with the Word of God. You have to know that in many ways the history of the Jewish people is like the history of the Catholic Church. Of course there are many differences. But basically in the Catholic Church, The priest was the one who knew the Bible, or he was supposed to know the Bible. People didn't read for themselves. They believed what the priest told them. And to a certain extent, that was true of the Jewish people. The rabbi was the one who knew the answers. They didn't have to think for themselves. They just had to do what the rabbi told them. But now they're being sprinkled with clean water. The word of God is coming to them.
Hallelujah.
And this is in an ever-increasing way. I mean, the increase in the number of congregations of Jewish people believing in Jesus as the Messiah is growing with amazing rapidity. I can remember when I was in Jerusalem in 1948, let's say. If you met one Jewish believer in a year, that was exciting. Now, every time you turn around, there's a new Jewish believer somewhere. I forget how many Hebrew-speaking congregations there are in Jerusalem. I think it's about 18. 18 Hebrew-speaking Jewish congregations in Jerusalem. That's happened in the last few years. God is sprinkling clean water upon them. The clean water of the Word of God. Then he says in the next verse, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So during the centuries of the dispersion, the Jewish people had a heart of stone. It was judgment of God. A heart of stone cannot respond to the Holy Spirit. They were incapable of responding. There were always the exceptions. Now God is taking away the heart of stone and giving them a heart of flesh. And one of the exciting changes is in their attitude toward Yeshua, toward Jesus. I remember in 1947 or 48, I was speaking to a Jewish man, and I said to him, I believe Jesus is the Messiah, and he turned around and spat on the ground. That was his reaction to the name of Jesus. A professor of religion in the Hebrew University in Jerusalem made this comment a few years ago. He said, some time back, my students all wanted to know about theological arguments. Now they all want to know about Jesus. Wow. See, there's a change, a very significant change coming. God said it would come. I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit within you. I will take away the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Next verse. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then God says, not only will I put a new spirit within you, that's the rebirth, but I will put my spirit within you. For me, that's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then God says, now you'll be able to keep my commandments.
Hallelujah.
How many of you know that without the Holy Spirit, you cannot keep God's commandments?
Yeah.
I remember as a boy at Eton, 1932, I was, quote, confirmed. You know what confirmed is. And matter of fact, I didn't really want to be confirmed. So they appealed to my father as to whether I should be confirmed. And my father was serving in India at the time. He wrote back and said, all the boys of your age are being confirmed. You will be confirmed. So confirmed I was. Well, before I was confirmed, I was a sinner. And after I was confirmed, I was a confirmed sinner. I don't say that to belittle anything, it's just the way it was. Almost exactly 10 years later, God filled me with the Holy Spirit. And for the first time, I could obey God joyfully. It wasn't a struggle. That's how it's going to be with the Jewish people. God says, I will put my spirit within you. Then you will walk in my statutes and keep my laws. And we come to the last verse of this particular section. Verse 28. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. You have to look to the end, you see. All these are stages, but the climax is, you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now, I just want to point out, if you read this passage in Hebrew, between verse 23 of Ezekiel 36 and verse 30, God says, I will 18 times. You understand, we're dealing with a sovereign God.
Hallelujah.
We're not dealing with a God that needs our approval or doesn't know what he's going to do. He's got it all worked out. And he says 18 times, I will, I will, I will, I will.
I realize that the Christian life is symbolized by God's work with Israel through the centuries. What an amazing insight we get to our own Christian lives as we look at God's covenant-keeping work with Israel. Now listen, there's much more ahead as Derek continues to teach us about why Israel. So stay with us as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
On more than one occasion, Derek expressed his strong desire that this ministry continue and grow beyond his homegoing, right up until the return of our Lord. Few things meant more to him than the knowledge that the truths he spent his life proclaiming would continue to be proclaimed among the nations. He poured himself out to reach the unreached, to teach the untaught, and to see God's people grow to maturity in the world. And so will we. At Derek Prince Ministries, we're honoring Derek's life and his wishes by carrying on. And as a dear friend of this ministry, we're hoping you will do the same. Why? Because the truth is, the passing of Derek Prince didn't mark an end for Derek Prince Ministries. It marked a new beginning. But to succeed, we will need your help. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit our secure website at derekprince.org. Please make the most generous gift you can, and be assured your gifts will be used prayerfully and prudently to keep the teaching of Derek Prince coming to you and others. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us on the web at derekprince.org.
God is faithful. The Bible is to be trusted. I haven't put my faith in something that's unreal and insubstantial. I've put my faith in something that will stand every test. The faithfulness of God, the love of God, and the truth of Scripture.
Thank you for standing with us.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. You know, it's possible you've just tuned in. If so, you need to know that we're in the middle of a wonderful teaching series by Derek Prince called Why Israel? And it's helping us understand all of these things that we need to understand about Israel and God's love for Israel and his ongoing work with Israel. Perhaps you've been watching the news and you hear all of this information about Israel and how angry some of the nations are with Israel. Well, this teaching is explaining all of it. And if you miss any of this, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org. Now let's listen as Derek Prince teaches us about why Israel is so important to God, to us, and in the world.
All this has a very important application to you and me. And if you turn to Isaiah chapter 11, God says what the significance of the restoration of Israel is to be for other nations. Isaiah 11, verses 11 to 12. It shall come to pass in that day, and that day in Isaiah and other prophets is usually the end time, not always, but usually. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathra and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. So Isaiah predicts there's going to be a second regathering. This is a remarkable fact about the Bible, because the first regathering had not yet taken place, but God looks beyond that. The first regathering was a brief, partial regathering after the Babylonian captivity. But God says there will be a second regathering, and this regathering will be worldwide. Not just be from the few areas to which the Jews were dispersed in the Babylonian captivity, but it'll be worldwide. I will set my hand the second time to regather the remnant of my people. Now, if God sets his hand to do something, he's going to do it. Woe to the person who gets in his way. Now, this is such a vivid description to me. What is the significance of it? He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Notice this is to be a worldwide ingathering. The regathering from Babylon was partial, limited to certain areas. This one is worldwide, and it's been exactly fulfilled. There are more than 100 nations from which the Jewish people have been gathered. You cannot find any area of the earth from which the Jewish people have not been regathered. But it was all predicted before the first scattering and the first gathering. And then God says, and this has become so vivid to me, He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel. The nations is the other nations, the Gentiles. So the regathering of Israel to their own land is a God's banner to the nations. And we better give heed. Now, what is a banner? This is my simple definition. A banner is usually some kind of something like a flag or something like that, that is put on something that lifts it up and makes it visible to a long distance. And usually it has a few simple words on it. So that's how I understand the regathering of the Jewish people. It's God's banner lifted up for all the nations to see. And you see, all the nations do see, because you never open your newspaper for a week without getting news about Israel. I mean, it's amazing when you think it's a nation of less than 6 million people with a tiny little circle of territory less than the Principality of Wales. And it's on the news week by week by week. Why? Because it's God's banner. He wants all the nations to see it. It's lifted up. What are the words on the banner? Now, this is just my own personal interpretation. But for me, what God says through that banner is this: God keeps his covenants.
Hallelujah.
How many years ago? About 3,800 years ago, God made a covenant with Abraham. He said, I'll give this land to you and your descendants. Most people forgot it. Most Israelites forgot it. People thought it was buried in the past. There's one person who never forgot: God. He said, I'm keeping my covenant. How important that is for all of us to know. God keeps his covenant.
Yes, amen.
It's very important for us as Christians, because our relationship with God is based on a covenant made through the blood of Jesus. If God could break his covenant with Israel, why shouldn't he break his covenant with the church? But he won't. He's not a covenant breaker.
Hallelujah, yes.
He made a covenant and he's keeping a covenant. And that's good news. It's exciting.
Amen.
I remember we were in Jerusalem, my first wife and I and our family, in 29th of November 1947, when the United Nations voted to partition this little strip of territory and give Israel just a little strip. And down in the center of Jerusalem, the young Jewish people, the boys and the girls, linked arms and danced a hora around the Zion Square almost all night. Why were they so excited? Because God was keeping his covenant. Oh, how wonderful he is.
You know, as I listen to Derek teach, it's as though I'm understanding the spiritual forces behind the headlines today. I grew up in the home of a military officer who was involved in military intelligence and world events, and so I'm used to listening to what happens in the news in terms of political forces and in terms of competing interests and national tensions and international tensions. When I listen to Derek, though, I come to realize that history, especially the history of the Middle East and the history of Israel, is really about the outworking of a covenant. It's about how God, the history maker, is working things together for his purposes in space and time. History is not just whatever kings and princes and armies decide to do, whatever presidents declare and prime ministers order. History is about the outworking of God's purposes, and central to his purposes, perhaps second only to reaching people for Jesus Christ and the gospel that changes their life, is God's unfolding work for Israel. It's great having you with us. And I want to just say, for everybody at Derek Prince Ministries and for me, Stephen Mansfield, we're eager to have you back with us. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To order your copy of Derek's book, Promised Land, for only $11.95, call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. It's because of the faithful financial support of friends like you that Derek Prince Legacy Radio is on the air. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And you can give securely online at derekprince.org. Thank you for standing with us. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information on anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org.